Good morning, everybody. This morning we will be studying from the book of Matthew. And if you do not have a Bible with you, there's a pew Bible ahead of you. I will be reading from the ESV version, and the pew Bible is the NIV version. And you can find the scripture, which is Matthew 10, verses 44 through 49, and they are found on page 943 in that pew Bible. In reading God's Word, if you would all please stand. Again, Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 39. It says, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For that I have come to set man against his father, and daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those in his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." You may be seated. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this day, and as we study your word, I ask, Lord, that you would use this jar of clay, that you would pour your words out through my mouth, that it would be you speaking, Lord. And Lord, that I would teach and preach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And Lord, that you would prepare the hearts of those in this congregation to hear that word and accept it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, when we read this scripture, to me, when I was studying this, it brings three things to me that I've seen in it: is God's plan for redemption, the magnitude of our depravity, and a warning that he demands obedience to himself. You know, when we first read this text, you would think that it's a contradiction to Scripture. You know, God's all love. How can he bring a sword? It contradicts Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It says, For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and a government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. This is not a contradiction. Jesus Christ came to bring peace. But it's peace between a born-again believer and God, our Creator. The problem is, we're born into this world at war with our Creator, at war against God. If you think about this, what Jesus is saying, he comes with a sword. What is a sword? We identify a sword as a weapon used in battle. But his sword is his word, the divine word that he has given us in the Bible, in this very Bible, this book here. It's his word. We are not born into this world as peacemakers, nor do we seek peace, nor do we seek our Creator. The word of God is the sword of truth. It pierces our hearts and reveals our depravity. For a few minutes this morning, Jesus will be wielding his sword through the words that I will be speaking and teaching, that I will be reading. And it is God's will, may your hearts be pierced with the word of God. If you look at Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 through 10, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind, to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds." But Scripture also says that without Jesus Christ leading your life, your deeds are filthy rags, worthless. In Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Who? Who falls short? All of us. Even I, the pastor, everyone on this world, everyone on this planet falls short of the glory of God. And are justified, we are only justified by grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. That is how we get. This is the gospel message. This is the sword. It says here in Romans, we receive it by faith that He died on the cross for us. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance, He had passed over our former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. If you look in Romans 8, verse 1, it says, There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free. What great words. We have been set free through Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus has set us free from the law of the sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, He condemned sin and the flesh, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on flesh is death. But to set the mind on Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. This is the redemptive promises of Jesus Christ. And to the degenerate is a sword that reveals our self-seeking and rebellious nature towards our Creator. It is God's plan that we will be redeemed through the sacrifices of Jesus Christ. And it is God's command This is true for us today, just as it was for the disciples back in Jesus' time. When Matthew 28, if you look in Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus sent his disciples out, just as we are called to do as born-again believers. And there's some warning to this. And Jesus came, it says in verse 18, Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So, as a born-again believer, we are called to go out and herald the great news. Amen? And that authority has been given to Christ, and he has given that to us. And he is with us always, he says. And in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, it says, "In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts from the evil one." We all have times we feel that we're attacked, amen? But the shield of faith protects us from the evil one. "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me," and this is Paul speaking, "that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." Jesus tells us that as a born-again believer, we should go and herald the gospel message, proclaim it, use his sword. This is our calling. The great part about being a born-again believer is that when the Holy Spirit fills our heart, it also opens our eyes to how sick we really are, how sick we really were. And all you can think about is getting the great news out to everyone you meet. To put this into context today, in 2022, the American Cancer Society reported that an estimated 1.9 million people in America alone were diagnosed with cancer. And out of that 1.9 million people, 609,360 people died from it in the United States alone. I would guess that each and every one of you in this room here today either know somebody that has cancer, had cancer, or died from cancer. And we can all come together unified, and we can herald that it's a horrific disease, amen? But I ask you today, if you were stumbling around through your life and you found the cure for cancer, would you set on that news? Would you let everyone know? Or would you keep it to yourself? What's crazy is we have the cure. We have the information of salvation. We have the answer to what happens after life. And those of us that know, we have the ability to divert people from hell to heaven. You know, there's in America, or actually worldwide, there are 8 billion people on this planet, roughly. And only 31.6% of them are claimed to be Christians. That's about 2.5 billion people. That's not quite the total population of the United States. The rest of those are condemned to hell. And Scripture tells us that even out of that 31.6% believers, that not all of them will make it. A great theologian of our times, Charles Spurgeon, quoted, "I think the preacher should feel a burning desire for his hearers' conversion, and even an intense anguish of heart for the immediate salvation of those to whom he speaks." If you look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from its sight. No creature is hidden from its sight. But all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him who we must give account. As we mature in Christ, as we mature in our belief, and we progress into teaching and preaching and personally evolving to be more Christ-like, it brings hostility to the darkness. It brings hostility to those who we have been familiar with in our acquaintance and our friendships. You're going around in your new faith wielding a sword. It's almost like Star Wars with a lightsaber. You're wielding this double-edged sword of the word, of truth, trying to get it out. And it brings conviction to people, and they do not like conviction. Which brings us to the second point, the magnitude of our depravity. If we go back to our text in Matthew chapter 10, verse 35 and 36, it says, "For I have come to set man against his father, and daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." As a born-again believer of Jesus Christ, have you experienced the pushback from the lost? Whether at family gatherings, or work, or school, or among the old friends, as you tell them the good news, they test you, they tempt you, they throw your past at you. It is as if they want you to fail, to fall down, to fall back, to go back to where you were. They miss you as a drinking buddy. They miss you in the depravity of your old life. It's like they want you to fail. Many, many are repulsed by the good news that you herald. Some are resistant, but yet intrigued. If you look in Mark chapter 7, verse 20 through 23, it says, "And he said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of our heart of a man, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile us." This is our old self. This is what hopefully every one of you in this room has put behind you. We were born into this world at war with our Creator, God, and everything He stands for. In Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 9, it even gives us more warning of our old ways. That it says, "But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without salvation.